Well, guys, as parents, we know children are a blessing, a beautiful gift from God, but they may take your marriage on a wild ride. I'm Brian Patrick. We're continuing our four-part series on marriage and family. Having children, it's not just us anymore, is our topic here in the second quarter on Crossing the Goal. We're starting the second quarter of our four-part series on marriage and family. Having children, it's not just us anymore. It's going to be a great topic as I introduce our Crossing the Goal team one more time. Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Renewal Ministries, the President and Founder of Focus, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Curtis Martin, and our coach here on Crossing the Goal, a former NFL coach and All-Pro wide receiver, Danny Abramowitz. We all have children. We wouldn't give the world for them. They're a great blessing to us, but they can also be a challenge, Peter.
I mean, they are a gift, and we're living at kind of a crazy time in society that's it's becoming a little more anti-child than any time I can remember in my life. People are asking the question, what's the point of having kids? They cost a lot. They're just hard work. And we need in this program to stand strong. The children are a gift and a blessing from the Lord.
You know, many of us couples don't think about this and realize how blessed we really are. The Lord allows us to take part in the creation of the child. But we got to realize it's not our child, it's His child. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be held accountable for that child.
Amen.
No, and to recognize it, not only are our children a gift, but when couples allow God to bless them with the child, they embrace that gift, children put you on an adventure that you would not plan. There will be all kinds of turns and experiences that you've never planned for. But it's in the midst of all that that God blesses us and leads us to a new place of unbelievable happiness, unbelievable experiences of His grace. And so this is not just a doctrinal point that we should be open to life. It is an invitation to come into an adventure.
You sound like you speak from experience on that, Curtis.
I sure do.
Yeah, a lot of couples blessed with children. Curtis and Michael Ann, let's say, are especially blessed. And we'll share in those blessings next on The Game Plan here on Crossing the Goal.
You know, the best leaders that I've really ever been around in this business are not guys that says, you know, follow me. You know, it's guys says that come with me. Come with me. Like, come with me. Here's what I'm going to do. You are welcome to come with me and do this. You know, if you're constantly, you know, telling somebody, here's what you should do, here's what you should do, here's what you should do, and you yourself are doing something different, or you yourself are going in another direction, that's the worst type of leadership. It's so counterproductive that it's destructive.
Welcome back. Our topic today is the blessing of children in married life. And I'm really excited today to have here with me my wife, Michael Ann. I'm Curtis Martin with the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, here with my wife of 20 years, and my soulmate and best friend. And it's been a delight to be able to walk through this adventure with you. We talked about that in the kickoff. But Michael Ann, I know that we've had a lot of opportunity working with young people, and a lot of them are really interested in married life, and we get asked a lot of questions. What's the question that you've been most surprised by?
I would say, honey, most times I get asked, why are you so happy?
Oh.
And when I think about it and have prayed about it, I really believe that God has blessed us with finding our soulmate in one another.
Yeah, I think that was a foundation stone for us, wasn't it? That
it was.
You know, we met at a Bible study. And I shared this once at a family session for our work here at EWTN, but I wanted to share it again, and that is that a passage that has meant so much to us is from Hebrews 12, and the idea of just fixing your eyes on Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, and running. And as you run after Him, you were running after Him, I was running after Him, and it was in the midst of that, that after you've been following our Lord for a while, to look over your shoulder and see who's running with you, and there you were.
And really, it was God placing a potential life partner in my life, and after prayer and discernment, knowing that I was called to be married and then finding you was a great blessing. And I think that's been an underlying theme of our entire marriage, the years that we've been together.
No, and I think, you know, you look and say, I mean, we talk about, you know, are we happy? And I think we have been happy, but it's a different type of happiness than maybe we thought it was going to be when we first met each other, where it would be happiness that was based upon one easy, fun experience after another. But instead, we found something deeper.
I would say it is much deeper, knowing that we're on mission together, that God has put us together to accomplish great things for the church, for our family, for one another. And sometimes it amazes me. People will say, well, you make it look so easy. And I think, oh my goodness, do you think it's easy?
I know. You know, there's a great image that we know from St. Jose Maria Escrivá, mm-hmm. who talks about how people who are living a grace-filled life make it look easy, but it's not.
Oh, I would say it's like the duck that's paddling along in the water, and the water is very smooth, but he's working like crazy to make some progress. And I think that's us in our family life, in our marriage, trying to live the way God has asked us to live, being open to children, open to his blessings, and yet it takes constant work and attention.
I think when we've met with people who have been married for a while and they're struggling with the happiness, one of the things I go back to and say, you know, it's a lot harder than it looks. We're always surprised by that, and at the same time, we try to play by the rules.
And
right. Whenever anybody gets married, they pledge no divorce, no adultery, no contraception.
And no murder.
That's right. That's right. And we try to play by those rules. You know, and that's so important for us to try to do that. And in the midst of playing by those rules, you know, Debbie mentioned in the last episode, that sense of total confidence that I know until death do us part, you are there for me. And that gives me such a freedom in our relationship.
And also just the being open to children. The Catechism of the Catholic Church has a beautiful point in 1652 where we're told, by its very nature, the institution of marriage and married love is ordered to the procreation and education of the offspring. And it is in them that it finds its crowning glory. To know that our children are our crown. I think that's a great honor. It's a blessing to be on mission, but to be open to the crown that God wants us to have, that's unique for our family.
No, and to recognize as we're raising children, some in teenagers, some that are young, some with special needs, that crown is a crown of glory, and at times it's also a crown of thorns.
Right.
And to recognize that we're going to have to walk through. And yet in all of that, what a joy, because I think even when we've suffered, we've known we're where we are supposed to be. It goes on a catechism and it says this, children are the supreme gift of marriage and contribute greatly to the good of their parents. And that's what I think we've experienced. You are better as a woman, you're better as a wife because you're a mom.
Oh, I believe it. I think children create a spouse-shaped hole in our heart.
Yeah.
I think parents who are open to the blessing that God gives them in children desire their spouse more and feel that grace that he showers us with because they're trying to receive the blessing and be open to raising and educating the children in the faith to promote the kingdom.
No, absolutely. And I think that there's tremendous power in that. One other, we have got just a little bit of time, wanted to maybe jump to another theme that's been so important to us in our married life, something we discovered maybe 5-6 years ago, always trying to find mentors and people who are teaching us the faith, and this kind of breaking down of Ephesians 5 to be able to see this wonderful passage which really calls men and women to love one another in marriage, but in a complementary way. Men are called to love their wives, and wives are called to respect their husbands. Mm-hmm. What have we learned about that?
Oh, I think there's many blessings, and I think that God, he challenges us because it's easy for women to love, but sometimes it's difficult for us to respect or to find things that are respectable. And for men, it's so great to be side by side, shoulder to shoulder, respect one another, pat each other on the back, but to actually love the way God asks us to do that in marriage can be really challenging. And I think sometimes I feel like we're in over our head because we're called to become holy, love and respect one another. And then we have these complications of children, bills, whatever it may be that comes our way. And to be able to embrace it, God continues to bless us.
No, and we laugh about this, but you sit back and say, when we first got married, we realized, boy, this marriage thing is going to be tough. It's bigger than us. Thank goodness we have sacramental grace.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of picked, well, if you had a superhero, who would you pick? And we thought, well, Superman, because you have to have, you know, and that would be great. We'd have those superpowers. And then you realize after some kids that really it's the wrong superhero. You need to be Aquaman because you're in over your head
all the time.
Brian?
Thanks, Aquaman and Wonder Woman. Seriously, Coach, Curtis and Michael Ann Martin are a great witness to life. They have 8 beautiful children.
Especially a special guy, Philip Colt McCoy Martin. he captained the team that whipped up on his dad and Peter over here, and I was involved with it.
That's right. You were his number one wide receiver.
Yeah, we had a great game.
All right, we're going to take him on down in the red zone coming up next here on Crossing the Goal. We're in the second quarter of our series on marriage and family. We've reached the red zone, and it's all about having children. It's not just us anymore, honey. When you guys realize that, I mean, I've been around the four of the youngest Martin boys for a day, and we had a blast. So I can imagine it's always fun in the Martin household.
Oh, life is a blast. It's always fun, not always easy. And I just got to tell you up front how much I enjoy sitting next to Mike Lynn rather than Danny.
But I don't blame you. You're smarter than I thought you were. Yeah, yeah.
But I think it's been an adventure, right, sweetheart?
It has, and it goes back to the theme I think that underlines our marriage, that we have continued to try and run after Christ and serve Him in whatever ministries He has called us to partake in, and having a big family is part of that, and our love is still there. The adventure, we're on mission together, is still there. Mm-hmm. We're still running. The track is just different, and I think that's what children do. They add dimension and detail to the track.
You know, I can recollect, I'm trying to go back when our first child, you know, that's 43 years ago, but I was doing fine until my wife in the middle of the night nudged me and says, "Honey, the child's coming." I said, "Wait, how do you know?" Yeah, she says, "Feel the bed. It's wet." Oh my God, or water burst. I come leaping out of the bed, man. Run in there, let's get going. Here's my mother and my wife. They're in there like nothing's happened, making up, laughing at each other, doing their hair. "Come on, please, let's hurry up." All of a sudden,
game time,
my
game
stomach
time.
Started tightening up. I was in the bathroom, and they're in there just taking their car. "Let's go, let's go." So we finally get to the hospital. We're driving. It was the most miserable drive of my life. They're laughing like nothing's happened. We get to the hospital, and the baby's finally born, but you can relate to this. My wife had toxemia, and it had trouble at the beginning. Remember, young people, just married. Finally, the baby's born, and they come out, and my wife and I were there, and all of a sudden, she started flipping around on the table, started going into convulsion. There was a lovely baby there. So we go in, they put me in a room, and for the next 2.5 hours, I was in there by myself as a young person. The first trial, tribulation. Here's a blessing that came in, but with it, a trial, and that scared us to death.
Danny, there's nothing that isn't scary about having children. And I can understand why the world is so hesitant to have them, so hesitant to be generous. And yet, if they knew the rest of the story,
oh, yes.
These souls live forever. What an unbelievable opportunity to be part of their lives. I mean, each of our children, as we've had gotten a chance to know them and watch them grow up, what an amazing ride it's been.
And to know that this soul is going to live for all eternity. And that it's part of our responsibility to form them in the faith, to educate them, and to really not only just give them knowledge, but to witness what God has asked of us. And I think oftentimes people don't realize when you're open to life, you're also open to losing children.
That's right. That people don't realize when they see that beautiful family of yours,
right,
that you've suffered great loss.
Right. And that we have 8 children here on earth with us, but we also have 8 souls in heaven. And that's part of our blessing too.
Ms. Kara.
And the Lord has also blessed you with a special needs child, and I've been really inspired.
We love Philip.
By the love. And just show us a little bit about the experience of raising a special needs child and the blessing and the challenge that is.
You know, part of the blessing, I think, is what a gift he is to our family. He, children on the get-go, call you to live for others. And I think in marriage, when you first get married, you're living for one another and it's so fulfilled. And God is that first fulfiller. But then in your marriage, you find that in a very intimate way. But our children call us to live outside of ourselves. And one thing that our son has really been blessed all of us with is our children are called to live outside of themselves. And we live in such a self-absorbed, self-fulfilling culture that it's rare that you see children being asked to give and being asked to serve and care for young younger siblings. And that's been a real blessing that we've experienced in our home, the closeness of our children. And I really believe, I really believe Philip is the glue. He's holy glue.
in marriage and when having children, you know, when you just have the two of you, it's sort of selfish, you know, you're one another, and then here comes the child and another. I mean, it forces you almost to forget about yourself and get into them, and they don't allow you to stay on yourself. They want the attention.
Mm-hmm. It's just always deeper. I mean, the first child, overwhelming. Second child, as overwhelming. Third child, you move from a man-to-man defense to a zone because you can't cover them anymore. Yeah. And it just goes from there on and on and on.
They outnumber you.
You know, and even a special needs child has helped, my wife would tell you, that it has helped her to understand me because she's got a special needs husband who is a little slow.
We've noticed that too. Yeah.
You know, another thing as a child is so funny, and you can relate to this. The first one, you even got the sound. Is he breathing? What's going on? Is everything all right? Yeah. The second one comes. The third one, the pots and pans are out. You're all watching. Yeah, everything's fine. You know, they're tearing the house down, and you just say, "Well, everything."
Bottle
fine.
Falls down, and the nipple hits the ground. You're like, "I've got to boil this." After a while, it's like, "There you go."
Yeah. What do you think of that?
Oh, I think, you know, I'm reminded when I look into Philip's eyes, the reading from Luke 9, where our Lord says, one who receives a child as this receives me. When you receive me, you receive the Father. And that's a challenge because there are times where it can be extremely difficult. And it's easy to fall into despair or to grumble. But I think God asks us to rejoice and to be thankful. And in those moments, to really try and say prayers of thanksgiving. Thank you for what I don't understand.
And where does your marriage come into this when you're really facing challenges with these growing children? How do you support one another? What's the best way?
Oh, I believe actually constantly learning. We've made it a hobby to just keep striving to get better in our marriage and to love one another more, to be better parents. Yeah. And calling each other, raising the bar when we see there's part where I'm slipping or Curtis is slipping, and embracing our masculinity and femininity to live the roles that God has put us in our home, I think has been a great blessing.
You know, God will give extraordinary grace to a father or mother who has to raise children without the help of a spouse. But I will tell you, He's designed it to raise children with a spouse. The complementarity has been so huge to be able to see that they really do need a mom and a dad, and to be able to recognize. And then each child has so many unique attributes, and it's just such a wonderful thing. And yet, even in the hard times, there's such a confidence that we have, that we know that in the midst of that cross, it's our cross to bear together with our Lord.
And to bear it with joy. You know, oftentimes we meet many young couples who are not blessed with children. Right. And I am thankful to God for the blessings we've received, but also to realize that there's many out there who aren't able to conceive. Mm-hmm. And that that doesn't mean they're not living the faith. I think sometimes it's quick to judge, oh, they've got a big family in the pew, therefore they're not contracepting. But I think there's the flip side is young couples who are striving to have children who can't feel that negativism sometimes from well-meaning parishioners, but to have a sense that just because they do not have a family doesn't mean they're not being open to life.
They may really be bearing a heartache.
Right.
I wanted to encourage you guys. See, I was the ninth of 10, so don't quit at 8.
You know, another thing, you raised the first one, then you moved the second one. Now we got it down pat. But what you found out is, I'd like you to share in this, how the personalities, how they're all different. And you have to treat each one as a little bit different.
Very much so. We actually, I think, work very hard to spend individual time, one-on-one time with our children to learn their unique gifts and strengths, their weaknesses, help be vulnerable with one another. And as they're growing into young adults, I treasure the relationships we have with our children. And I think part of it is just we have constantly tried to make time for one another, but also have individual time with our kids. And so they don't feel like one of a pack, or they don't feel put down for being in a big family, that they actually feel unique and special and grateful that they're in our family, as we're grateful for them.
You know, we keep talking about children as a gift, and I think most of us experience. We see our children, we love them, we love to see them succeed, we love to see them accomplish things, and it brings great joy to our heart. But one of the greatest gifts is they reveal to us how small our hearts are. That children teach us, they're a gift from God because they teach us how to love. We're made for love. And they help prepare us literally for heaven. I mean, I've experienced so many times in my life how small my heart is, you know, when you got to just keep coming back, and the hard work of raising kids, that's actually part of God's gift. I'm teaching you how to love, and then he gives you the sacramental grace and the rest to do it.
I think he also teaches us how to die to ourselves.
Yeah, there it
that
is.
That love is in not only being a gift of self and serving, but dying to ourselves with joy. I want to speak out of love.
Yeah.
And I do think that's part of the path to holiness. That's part of the track.
There it is.
That's the running.
If you look at our culture and they're not having the opportunity to be committed to the families, Peter, I just want to pile on to what you've said. There have been 1,000 times, 10,000 times where my heart was expanded against my will in some ways.
Yeah.
Because of marriage and because of family. And I'm thinking, if it hadn't been for those relationships, I'd still be the same small-hearted guy I was 20 years ago. And I had a long way to go, but marriage has been the heart tenderizer, if you will, that's been the most frequently used tool in God's arsenal with me.
The people are refusing to have children in some parts of the country because they don't want to be bothered by them. They're missing the point. They don't see this unbelievable gift that they're turning their backs on. You know?
And the handful of children they will raise also won't experience it to the same degree because of that sense in the family where we're going to limit how far we're in. You use the image in our conferences about God calling us all in.
Yeah.
And we feel that being open to life and our married life has called us all in our way.
Well, thank you for going all in. Is there anything that you each want to share individually about your marriage, raising your children before we go?
Just I'm grateful to God for the adventure that we're on a mission together.
No, and you said it a little while ago, Peter, that really the two great decisions a man can make if he's got the vocation of marriage is to find Jesus Christ and to find the right woman, and I feel very blessed to have done both.
Yeah. You married up.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to get the last word from our regular Crossing the Goal team members next in the end zone. You're on Crossing the Goal.
Absolutely. Very good. Very good. And I feel like I'm going to fall off or do something wrong. I pray the rosary. I ask God to protect me and protect my family. And I turn around to look at the good things that God's given me, that I don't need to do things to hurt him or to make him displeased with me.
We have crossed the goal again here in the second quarter. That puts another touchdown on the board for the Crossing the Goal team. Our subject this time, raising children. It's not just the two of us anymore. And let's get the last word, beginning with Peter Herbeck.
Friends, I want to encourage you to do something I was encouraged to do many years ago, and I'm so glad it happened. I was challenged by a brother to say, each night with each of your children, go into their room, put your hand on their head, and give them a blessing. Look them in the eye and tell them you love them, and pray a blessing. We prayed the prayer, Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, may the Lord watch over you and give you his peace. And did it for years. I'm so glad I did.
That blessing from Moses and Aaron, that's beautiful.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would say, gentlemen, the topic is children. And we live in a culture that encourages us to be kind of guarded in how much we're going to give. And it's tough. It's scary. But my encouragement is to be open to life. We meet a lot of families where maybe the wife wants to have another child, the husband's, you know, worried, I'm not sure if I can make enough money. God will give you the grace to be the parents you need to be once the children come, not before. Be open to life and trust that in that generosity, God's going to do amazing things in your life.
Man, you know, I go on and speak at conferences, Crossing the Goal conferences, and I ask the question, men, have you told your children that you love them? Well, yeah, well, not really, but they know that. Well, how do they know that unless you've told them that? Well, they just know. No, they don't. Men, let them know. Tell them. Don't just think they assume it. You tell them that you love them. Kiss them, hug them, each and every day. As much as you can, because you're going to wake up one day and they're gone. They're off raising their own families. Please do that.
Can you still do it when they're teenagers, Coach?
Absolutely. Well, they sort of want to get away, but they come back. They want to still, to this day, my kids kiss. My dad just passed away, 90 years, 91. We kissed.
All right.
That's what it was.
Well, we're going to talk more about those teen years in our next segment, and we're going to actually turn the game plan over to Michael Ann Martin and Debbie Herbeck. So join us next time on Crossing the Goal.